Ephesians chapter 3, and this week, the Lord brings us to verses 7 through 9. These are the words of God, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the stewardship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So far, the reading of God's Word. The Apostle is writing of his ministry of the gospel, and of course, he has an ordination that none of us have today, not even myself or the elders of the church. He is ordained an apostle. And yet, all of us, being called to be light in darkness and to have our speech always with grace, seasoned with salt, knowing how we might edify in how we speak, and to always be not only living with a hope that is evident to get asked, but ready to give an answer for that hope within us. There are applications to us of what he reflects on about his ministry of the gospel. And in these three verses, he reflects upon the fact that his ministry in the gospel is an assignment by grace to show bottomless depths of an eternal goodness. First of all, he notes that his ministry of the gospel, when he says, of which I became a minister, he's a minister of the mystery of the gospel. And this ministry of the mystery of the gospel, he says, is according to the gift of the grace of God given to me. And that's the first part of our biblical working definition of grace, blessing for those who have only curse. It's a gift of God to him. It's for those who deserve only curse, rather. It's not something that he is worthy of. In fact, he calls himself the leaster of all the saints. He uses a comparative of a superlative, which if you do it in your writing, your mom or whoever else is checking is going to say that is bad grammar. So it's either leaster or lesserest of all the saints that the apostle calls himself here. But that which is bad grammar is often good theology. And it is appropriate for us when we are thinking about telling others about the glorious grace of God in Jesus Christ to know that the privilege of telling them is a blessing for us that we have undeserved, but that Jesus has deserved for us. Many of us, I'm afraid, when we think about telling others about Jesus, say, oh, I'm not worthy to tell others about Jesus. Well, isn't that the point? That only Jesus can be the worthiness of sinners? The apostle notes that this ministry that he gets to have in the mystery of the gospel is something that he doesn't deserve. But as we know, the grace of God is not only blessing for those who deserve only curse, but it's also strength for those who have only weakness. And we see him combine those two here, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Now, one thing that may keep us from telling others about Jesus is we'll say, well, I'm pretty sinful, and they know that, and I'm not worthy to tell them about Jesus. And the first part of the the grace of God has answered that. But we also may think, well, I'm not up to telling people about Jesus. Well, no, you're not. And even if you were, you aren't up to giving them faith to believe in the Jesus about whom you tell them either. The ministry of the mystery of the gospel depends entirely on, as the apostle says, the end of verse 7, the effective working of his power. So you do pray, Lord, help me be faithful, help me be wise, help me speak well. But you can't pray, Lord, help me be faithful enough or wise enough or speak well enough that they'll believe. That never actually happens. It can't happen. Because it's by the effective working of his power that he brings people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that releases a lot of the pressure when telling other people about Jesus. That it is not something that you are up to. It's something you do in dependence upon him, as directed by his word, as you look forward to and hope in the effective working of his power. So it's an assignment by grace. And it's an assignment by grace. The ministry of the gospel is an assignment by grace to show bottomless depths. Your testimony of what God has done in your life is not the gospel. It is one instance of the application of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a sinner. And it may be helpful to tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. But the gospel is not what Jesus has done in your life. The gospel is what Jesus has done in his life, and his death, and his resurrection. So ministry in the gospel, or telling people the gospel, evangelizing them, is an assignment by grace to show bottomless depths. And we see that in verse 8. To me, who am the lesserest or the leaster of the saints, he says, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles what? The unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. That by the words that I tell them about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and why he did that, and what it accomplishes, they will dive into something so glorious that should we swim down for all eternity, we will never reach the bottom. The unsearchable, the unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ. So that if you tied all the knots and all the ropes that the world has ever seen, and you started to let them off of the end of the boat as you floated in the depths of the riches of Jesus Christ, you would eventually run out of rope, and you would say, it's unfathomable, it's bottomless, it's unsearchable. So that for unending ages, we will continually find ourselves still saying, amazing, wonderful. Our God and his gospel of his Son is still more glorious than I had yet imagined. And we will never run out of the ability to keep saying that for all eternity. And so when we tell the gospel, it's an assignment by grace to show bottomless depths, to introduce someone to something, really someone, who, by the effective working of God's power, you hope will then be diving into something that they will never, for all eternity, reach the bottom of. The unsearchable riches of Christ. In the last place here, he's describing the ministry of the gospel, or evangelizing, as an assignment by grace to show bottomless depths of an eternal goodness, and to make all see what is the stewardship of the mystery. So I know it says fellowship in the New King James. The word is probably better translated stewardship. It's actually in the majority text and the critical text, but the majority text, it says stewardship of the mystery. So Paul has been entrusted by God. He's been given from God stewardship of something. And it is the mystery of the gospel. And what he does is he traces back chain of custody, right? If you're at a trial and there's a piece of evidence and they want to know chain of custody, where was it found and who has handled it since then, so that they can see where it's been. And he traces it back. Where did this mystery of the gospel that Paul now has, where did it begin? Which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. So not only are the riches of Christ unsearchable, unfathomable, but when you trace back the goodness of God in Christ, you actually end up in God himself before there was anything, before there were any ages, before there was any creation. This is something that began in the wisdom of God and the love of God and the pleasure of God in himself. And because he desired to glorify his Son as the redeemer of sinners, who reconciles sinners to God and sinners to one another, because God desired to do that, in the beginning, God created the heavens of the earth, which from the beginning of the ages, verse 9, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Created all things through Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. We have created all things through his word. In the beginning was the word. We have created all things through his Son. God is from all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the name, Jesus Christ, is a Savior name. Is a mediator name. His name is Jesus because he saves his people from his sins. His title is Christ because he is anointed to announce to us his salvation as prophet and to earn for us his salvation as priest as he sacrifices himself and to accomplish for us his salvation as king as he subdues us to himself and gives us the faith to believe in him and have his sacrifice counted for us. That's the name, the title Christ. And so the description here, that the mystery from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, it's telling us something about Genesis 1:1. Somebody, I think it was Enoch, had a shirt with Genesis 1:1. On it yesterday. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, you stick Ephesians 3:7-9, or just Ephesians 3:9, right under that, that he created through Jesus Christ because there was that intention to redeem sinners in his Son and glorify his Son as being unsearchably, unfathomably glorious and rich. As the Redeemer of sinners, he planned that from all eternity. That was why he created. That is why he's done everything else since creation. It is an eternal goodness that finds the origin of its chain of custody all the way in the eternal God himself. And so what is the ministry of the gospel to which I and the other elders have had a special calling and ordination and which all believers should be glad to tell and looking for opportunities to tell. It is an assignment by grace to show bottomless depths of an eternal goodness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for your eternal goodness that even from all eternity and your plan to glorify yourself, you are aiming at joining us to Jesus by faith and giving us both the undeserved, anti-deserved privilege of hearing him that we had to respond to only by your strength, by your grace, which gives us faith, that you have also given us again by grace the blessing of being able to tell of Jesus that we don't deserve, and something that you attend by your power. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that, that you would capture our minds and hearts and make it flow out of our lips the unsearchable riches of Christ, the eternal goodness of you, our God, in Christ, the eternal goodness of your gospel, the eternal goodness of your Son, so that we would be quick to tell of Jesus by your grace, which we ask in his name. Amen.